want everyone to know that I'm not going to have a marathon of a sermon, but if we're late, got late started with some songs, okay? Just remember that. I want to thank the elders for allowing me to be up here, and especially Royce for switching with me, because I wasn't going to be here next Wednesday when I'm supposed to be scheduled for this devotional time. My topic is transformation and genuineness, and I'd like to start with a story about my family. My grandfather has a gold bar, okay, and as a child, I was fascinated by this gold bar, and it's beautiful and shiny, and it has holes drilled through it and markings on it, and I had no idea what it was until I was a little older. And in my mind, it was always a gold bar, real gold, like, hey, we're filthy rich, right? But it was not. The story that was passed on to my grandfather by his father was that that was fake gold used by Pancho Villa to buy arms from the United States government. Okay? And I tried to search that to see if that was real, and I can't find anything to support that. However, if I was the United States government, why would I admit that I took fake gold from Pancho Villa and gave him arms to rebel against Mexico, right? My family, my grandfather's grandfather was born in Mexico. He was born to a railroad worker that was an American citizen, but working on a railroad that connected the United States and Mexico. And then he got chased out by Pancho Villa. The train behind his train got blown up by Pancho Villa, okay? So all of the little tidbits, information I have about my family point towards this was a bad man that probably did use fake gold to buy arms for the United States government. But I can't support that in any way. I can't find that besides what has been passed down traditionally. But why is that a big deal? Because fake gold is worthless. It was lead painted with gold. It was completely fake. It wasn't worth anything. And that's where we have to be careful in our spiritual lives, that our spiritual lives are not worthless. They're genuine, okay? The word genuine means authentic, real, free from hypocrisy, okay? Free from hypocrisy. Jesus called out hypocrites 17 times that I found in the New Testament, 14 in Matthew, 1 in Mark, and 2 in Luke. He didn't mess around with fake people or posers for you hip kids in here, right? He didn't mess around with them. He wanted genuine, faithful people. I'd like to notice Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23 has a great example of Jesus doing the such. He begins by addressing the scribes and the Pharisees, saying that they sit, or he's addressing his disciples, actually, saying that the scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. Respect authority, is what he's telling his disciples, okay? But don't be like them, is what he continues on to say. For they bind heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them in men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries broad and enlarge their borders of their garments. They love the best places at feasts and the best seats in the synagogues, greetings in the marketplaces, and to be called by men rabbi, rabbi. But you do not be called rabbi, for one is your father. And then we'll skip down to verse 13. Now he's addressing the scribes and the Pharisees. He says, but woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. And there's an exclamation point in the New King James Version right there. He's speaking to a multitude of people. He's casting his voice out. He puts emphasis on hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. These are religious people, for you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. They're keeping people from the kingdom of heaven. Okay, they are religious leaders binding things on people, allowing things to happen that are not scriptural. And that's why they're hypocrites, because they're acting like they're so great. I'm a scribe, I'm a Pharisee, I know the law, you don't know nothing. They're hypocrites. And Jesus calls them out. Okay? Paul uses the word, well, let me stay on hypocrite for a second. I learned a new word, affectation, okay? It's an antonym to genuine, meaning it's the opposite. It means an effort to appear to be, but not really be. Okay? You're an actor. That's what it is. You're an actor. You're pretending. Okay? You're pretending. I like the word. Write it down if you want to use it. Affectation. Okay? You use it and when you call someone a hypocrite. They won't know what you're calling them. Okay? So, genuine. Back to genuineness. Paul uses the word genuine to describe the faith of Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. If you want to turn there and read it with me. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, he says, "When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also." He had a genuine faith. Okay, if you continue reading, he says, because of your genuine faith, go do something about it. Go do something about it. It says, "Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." You can't have those things without a genuine faith. Otherwise, he wouldn't expect Timothy to have it, right? If he didn't have the genuine faith, he would stop right there. Said, you need to go get a genuine faith. Okay? So, genuine means unfeigned, undisguised. He didn't hide it from anybody. And that's why he needed to go do something about it, because people knew who Timothy was. This same word is found in Romans chapter 12, verse 9, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 6, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, 1 Peter 1, verse 22, and James chapter 3, verse 17. All talking about something that is very, very real and tested. Okay? So my question today is, are you genuine? Are you a genuine person? Are you genuine in your faith? Is it real? Is it a real faith that calls you to action? To action? Or do you put on a facade like the scribes and the Pharisees did? Boasting about how great they were, but then they didn't even do the simplest things that they were supposed to do, and thereby they were keeping people out of the kingdom of heaven. They were keeping people from worshiping God. There are churches of Christ that have a sign out in front of their building but are doing drastic things against the Word of God. It's terrible. They're a facade. They're fake, they're posers, and they're going to keep people from heaven. They're going to do it. We can't be that church here. Now, this wouldn't be a good devotional if there wasn't an invitation to obey the gospel. You can be a very genuine person going down the wrong path. But we can transform that path into the right path and stay genuine. But it's going to take some steps. And first, you have to hear the word. You have to know that Jesus, you have to hear the gospel, that he came from heaven, sacrificed himself after living a perfect life for our sins. We can study that with you. If you haven't heard it, we can study it with you. After you hear it, you must believe it. That's John chapter 8, verse 24. Then that belief, that faith should create a change of heart. A changing from the path that you were genuinely following to the path that you should genuinely follow. That's found in Acts chapter 17, verse 30, among other passages. And then we know that we must confess Christ as Lord, Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, and be baptized, as we see in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Acts is full of baptisms. If it wasn't necessary, why would we even write about it? All the conversions in Acts have a baptism. But for those of us that maybe have been more of a facade than a genuine, faithful Christian, we're told in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, that we are to remain faithful, have that genuine faith even unto death. Even if it means the mockery of ourselves by the outside world, even if it means one day we shall die for it, we are to do it. And so when it comes to a transformation in regards to genuineness, we need to transform our lives to be more genuine. We need to have that genuine faith that Paul tells Timothy he has. If there's anyone needing to obey the gospel, that you've heard the word already, and that belief has created the changes needed so that you can obey the gospel, we're going to have an invitation song by Brian here, and we ask that you come forward. But if there's somebody here that is already a member of the church, and you're watching the things happen in this world, and you're not doing anything about it because you're just putting on the facade of being a Christian, I invite you to change that. That may be a private change, and that's fine. But if it's a public change, let us help you. We're not perfect. Chad Shirtle's not perfect. I need y'all. And I think y'all need me too. We ask that you come forward as we stand and sing.